Today I start my sermon with the story of my grandma. So I found this photo from my album. So the woman is my grandma. And guess who's me between the two boys? So can you guess? One of the front, yes. So the boy with the red shirt is me. Yeah, quite different to now. Yes, I loved my grandma, and she really loved me because I'm the first grandson. So that's the most important reason. When my grandma was pregnant with my father, she prayed to God that her child would live a life like Moses. But perhaps because of that, my father, the church minister of Korean Methodist Church, really lived as a church minister with strong leadership. But the problem is that my father's life resembled that of Moses. And after a long, rocky ministerial journey. So my dad stopped his ministry just before entering the land of Canaan, flowing with milk and honey. Perhaps that was why my father laughed and joked, "I don't like Moses." The Gospel of Matthew was the gospel used by Matthew community, whose majority were Jews. So, in Matthew's Gospel, Jesus is often compared to Moses. The reason is that Moses is one of the most important figures in Jewish history and religion. In today's Bible reading, the true mission and identity of Moses and Jesus are revealed. Moses was adopted by an Egyptian princess and lived as a prince. But God finally revealed his true identity and mission to him. It was to lead his people, the Israelites, into Canaan, the land promised by God. And Jesus revealed his true identity and mission to his disciple in Matthew 16. He is the Christ whose mission was to die on the cross. He didn't come to the earth to politically liberate only Jews from the Romans' oppression, rather liberate all humankind of the earth from suffering, oppression, and unjust. Peter begged Jesus that he should never die, but Jesus' answer for the disciple who loved him was too cold. Jesus, who knew what his mission was, had to move towards it. And he would have hoped that his disciples' mission would be conveyed through his life and death. But here, his disciples don't seem to have a clear sense of their mission. His disciples understood Jesus' messianic identity as a political savior. So Peter may have wanted to help with that political liberator, but Jesus shattered Peter's expectation. Peter's reaction exposes a common human tendency to focus on the glory without embracing the suffering. Jesus rebukes Peter revealing that his mission was to save through sacrifice. It challenges us to redefine our understanding of success and fulfillment. As followers of Christ, we are called to deny ourselves, take up our cross, and follow Him. Our identity is found in Christ's sacrificial love and our willingness to surrender our desires for His higher purpose. As He told them to deny themselves and take up their cross and follow Him, the author of Matthew's Gospel makes it clear to his readers that this is the mission that Jesus' disciples must follow and that this is the identity of his disciples. So, here is the question of who am I? Have you ever thought about who you are and what your identity is? Each of us can have multiple identities. So for example, this is my identity right now. So my identity is Korean and also migrant, Christian, friend, musician, teacher, church minister, son, brother, and husband, father, golfer, and etc. So how many layers of identity do you have like this? So Tom, how many identities do you have like this? So your father, right? Your husband, right? And also engineer? A brother, yes. Okay. Okay, owner, yep. Oh. So quite many identities you have, right? Yes. And Pam, how many identities you have?
I did 25 different jobs, so I can't name all those.
Yeah.
And tennis player, all kinds of things.
Yeah, that's right. Thank you.
And well, follower of God.
Follower of God. Thank you. That's really important. And also, Wes, can I ask you about your identities?
Yeah.
Okay.
Attended musician.
Attended musician, yes. Okay.
Dog owner,
yes.
Project for my wife.
Okay. All right, thank you. So Janelle, can I ask you about that? How many identities you have?
Nurse.
Yeah, nurse.
Filipino.
Okay, Filipinos.
Christian.
A Christian, yes. Okay, thank you. So we all have multiple identities, right? And the identity is not static. Our identity is not static, yes? Identity can change by context and personal decision. When I lived in Korea 20 years ago, migrant, church minister, husband, and father were not part of my identities. At the time, I was single, I was a migrant, I just was living in Korea. So, those identities, I got those identities here, and also possibilities to add other identities in the future, such as one day maybe I will be grandfather, one day I will be a retired minister, one day. So yes, who knows? There is a lot of possibilities about changing or adding my identities. Amongst the various identities, we can find an identity we all can share. That is, it is that we are Christian and members of Endeavor Hills Uniting Church. Moreover, we are brothers and sisters in the love of Christ. These are part of our identities. As I said, our identity is not static. It's a process of transformation. Just as Moses grew from a timid shepherd to a confident leader, and Peter from a rebuking disciple to a faithful apostle, we too grow and mature as we follow Christ. Embracing our identity as Christ's disciples involves recognizing that we are called to a life of self-sacrifice and obedience. Our identity is not centered solely on personal comfort or success, but on our relationship with Christ and our commitment to His mission. Furthermore, our identity is not solely defined by our achievements, roles, or possessions, by our relationship with God and Christ's transformative work in us. We are God's beloved children, called to participate in His divine plan of redemption. Both Bible readings we read today emphasize that our identity is tied to God's redemptive story. We are cherished participants in His plan to bring salvation and transformation to the world. Our significance comes from being part of His divine narrative. May we boldly respond to God's call, embracing our roles as His ambassadors in a world in need of His grace. Let us deny ourselves, take up our cross, and follow Christ, finding our true identity and purpose in Him. May our lives be a testament to the transforming power of God and the unending love of Christ. Today is Father's Day. On this Father's Day, I extend my heartfelt blessings to each one of us, one of the fathers here. May you find strength and inspiration in the example set by Jesus and Moses. May your love for your families continue to burn brightly like the bush that was not consumed by the flames. And may you always be a source of hope, guidance, and unwavering support to your loved ones. May your dedication be recognized and cherished today and every day. Stan, Tom, Wes, Ron, and Orr, Andrew, and Brian, Matt, Jeff, and me, happy Father's Day. Amen. Let us pray. Loving Heavenly Father, please give us the strength to take up our crosses daily, knowing that your grace sustains us. We pray that you will lead our fathers today to lead their families with wisdom, love, and faith. Lord, we also remember those who may find this day difficult for various reasons. Comfort those who have lost their fathers and be a father to the fatherless. Bring healing and reconciliation to broken relationships and families. Finally, Lord, we ask for your blessing upon all fathers and families that they may experience the joy of unity, love, and healing. May your grace abound in their lives, bringing restoration where there is brokenness and filling the hearts of fathers with hope and strength. In the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.